Namaste show. Good news for a change. Back in the studio with Jennifer Clark. That's me, Ricky Lecuye. That's you.
Happy 6th of March.
March 6th.
Yes.
We're so very happy to have for the first time on our show Rick Burchard, who established Lucid Productions in New York in 1999, creating some documentaries. He's actually created a new documentary called Love's Journey that represents his personal quest to better understand the dynamics of love and human relationships based on the work A Course in Miracles.
Very good.
He'll be showing his film Love's Journey, a documentary, here at St. Paul's University in April, on April 28th, at the Amphitheater. Welcome to the Namaste Show, Rick.
Welcome, Rick.
Thank you very much.
So tell us how A Course in Miracles influenced the work you did in this documentary.
Well, basically because what the course does is present another way of looking at love and relationships that made complete sense to me. I mean, as people, we all say love doesn't control and condemn or judge, but if you look at all of our relationships, lovers or otherwise, that's what we do to each other. And it helped us to understand why we do that, and I think that's a big step in moving forward in healing.
Right, and so were you you were doing documentaries about schools, and then you hit love. So how did that transition happen for you?
Well, like everybody else, you know, I have a heartbeat. I struggled with my relationships. I wanted to know why love seems to go and then come back, and why it was painful. It didn't make sense to me that it worked that way, and I think what A Course in Miracles does, as well as many other spiritual, you know, entities, is provide you a way of understanding what love is and what it isn't. And for the most part, most people look at it the wrong way. And the world views love as a way of meeting our emotional and ego needs. And we call that love, and in fact, that's not what it is. And that's really why most relationships don't work. And that's why I wanted to do a documentary, because it was healing for myself and for those people who view it and they find another way of observing and discussing this topic.
So when people watch the film or the documentary, what do you think, like, what's your position, or what are some of your talking points? What are they going to get out of the film?
Well, I think, you know, the very first thing you're going to get out of the film is that you're going to realize that regardless of what you're feeling, it's always about you. No matter how somebody treats you, you're going to own it, and you'll understand why you can own it. I mean, it doesn't mean you should stay in an abusive relationship, but you can leave one without judgment. And,
right.
and that's the trick, I mean, to be able to understand why your feelings are your feelings. I mean, we don't do it perfectly, but what happens is wanting to is a very important step. And I think when you walk away from a relationship or you maintain one, you'll realize your motivations. And that's one of the primary things I think you'll learn in this film. I mean, we talk about sex. We talk about the psychology of what's going on in our heads. Understanding what we do from the mind level is really healthy, because at least it offers us a chance to let it go. And instead of going to somebody to get something, we now join with somebody in order to share the common purpose that we all share, which is growing within ourselves.
Wow.
So Rick, at the core level, you're trying to make people aware of their responsibility to themselves, first and foremost?
That's right. That's right. We have a psychotherapist, and he said something very interesting in the film. He says, the commitment I would make to you if I was in a relationship with you is really a commitment to myself, that I'm going to be as selfless and non-judgmental as possible, and I'm going to be kind and loving, versus committing to you that I won't cheat or that I will bring you roses on your birthday. We always try to measure love in this world. We're always trying to ensure that we control it and maintain it, and love just doesn't work that way. It just is. But as humans, we're so frightened that we try to manage everything, and we wonder sometimes why it didn't work. Well, I think the film helps the people to understand why it doesn't work, because most of the love here is really based on our ego needs, and that's just not going to work. I mean, you might have a high. You might meet somebody and have passion and candlelight dinners, but in truth, it doesn't really last in form, and that's why people get so disillusioned.
The way I kind of sense is it's a pool that I go and have a dip in at its most passionate. And when I say passionate, it's devoid of any sexual connotation. It's just that true essence of loving my whole being and trying
right.
to see others in that way.
That's right. But what happens is most of us, on one level, whether we're aware of that, don't really love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to substitute the love that we don't think we have by somebody else. And usually it's a person, but it can be your job, it can be your body, it can be your car, it can be your address. If we really pay attention to what we do as humans, it'll give us a little bit of insight as to what's really going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so who did you interview for this documentary?
Well, we interviewed Dr. Kenneth Wapnick. He is with the Foundation of A Course in Miracles in Temecula, California. He's a remarkable psychotherapist with many books, and I appreciate what he said. We interviewed Maylene Destu. She's a Montreal sexologist, because I know sex is a big issue for people. We wanted people to understand, like, are we supposed to use sex to express love, or is sex just fun? I mean, how should we manage that? And, of course, I know that we brought in the Catholic Church because we wanted to have people to have some kind of perspective from some religious perspective. And then we interviewed some regular folks, a nice young married couple, a gay couple. We interviewed some college students, to get their perspective. And then we connected all the dots. And I think as you watch the film, you'll realize what's happening. And then at the very least, the film will result in some dinner conversations.
And so what personal revelations did you get after, producing and directing it from beginning to end?
Well, to tell you the truth, I didn't have any. The reason for that, Jennifer, is that, I had been studying the course for 25 years. I have a bad habit sometimes of being too deep. My challenge in this film was to bring people to a level that they could begin to accept without being so deep that they were clueless to what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what the end product was going to be in this. My motivation, and I have no need here that people believe the film, I just want to present another way of looking, which I personally find interesting. I mean, some people walk away with everything, some nothing. I'm speaking about neediness here. The last thing I want to have is neediness about how my film should be perceived. So in the end, I think we achieved that. Some people love it. Some people run away from it because it pushes buttons.
Right.
I guess if anybody or somebody at least gets just part of the icing is all he needs. He doesn't need the whole cake.
Right.
Well, that's it. I mean, eventually I think you're going to probably want the whole cake if the cake is the
exactly.
symbol for becoming aware of who you are.
True.
But I think we have to be as humans, understand it's going to take small steps in life. And I think one thing is healthy is not to rush it and to honor that. And the most important step in all of this is wanting to take the first step. We may not know what that first step is, but the first thing that is important is wanting to say, listen, something's not right here. I have to look at this thing differently. And that is the shift in our perception. And then it can take a lifetime for the rest of it to dawn on us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's usually the format of people's unfolding into awareness.
Excellent.
So you had Reverend Monsignor Riani speak about, love, according to the Catholic tradition.
Uh-huh.
You sound French. Are you French somewhere yourself?
My mother is from Canada.
Yeah, I can hear the accent.
Most of my friends are in Montreal.
Right.
Ah.
I knew that.
So
I was like, there's
my French.
Yeah. So what?
And it's all good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Did he offer, was there anything, like, did the Course in Miracles match up their traditional, viewpoint? Or was there?
Yes, it did. There is one interesting thing in the film that surprised me. The Catholic Church didn't say anything I wasn't surprised with. And they struggle with this because from the Church's perspective, love involves guilt, it involves sacrifice, and I'm here to tell you that it doesn't.
That's right.
But one thing we did come, as we began to talk to the spiritual aspect of what love is, the priest said something in the film that surprised me. I was like an attorney. It took me forever to get him to say what I wanted, because if life is a journey and we're going into awareness, the fundamental question is, what is it we're becoming aware of? What do we learn? Where does this journey ultimately take us?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I knew from my perspective what the answer was, but finally this priest was able to say, I am God.
Mm.
And that was a big step for a priest to say. He tried to retract from it a little bit,
right?
But in the end he said, no, that's where we're going. We're going to all become to realize that we're inherently good. And in this world, as complicated as it is a tool we use to help us understand that.
Right.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can buy a copy right now of your documentary. Tell us how they can learn more about the work you're doing and buy a copy for themselves.
Well, I think the website's the easiest. It's called Love's Journey, all one word, .us. If they go there, they'll see a blog and they can buy a film and they can buy tickets for the Ottawa University event. Eventually, I grew up in an evangelical background, so I'm very cautious of the word preaching. I never want to tell anybody how to think, because that's not my job. I am simply discussing something that I find particularly interesting, and so we have an enjoyable conversation about it. But if they go to the website, lovesjourney.us, they can buy the DVD, and they can see other discussions that people are having and get tickets for the auto walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I could see this as being, are you having, after the viewing, are you having a discussion group happen afterwards, or is it just the viewing and that's it?
No, I'm going to speak after the film, and I'll be answering listeners' questions as well.
Right.
Wonderful. And so what are some of the coolest questions you've had?
I think people really want to know how to do this. And I try to remind people that we don't do it perfectly, you know, because our feelings seem to tell us things that we think are true. And so it's important to respect your feelings but not to trust them.
Right.
Because, you know, you fall in love and you say, oh, my God, this is everything I wanted, and then we're so disillusioned. And so there is, again, that deeper discussion about what's going on in our head and what is it we're trying to do. And to the extent that we can understand that, we'll begin to understand that no matter what we do, we're always trying to satisfy this underlying need of not feeling complete or whole. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, we try to do that through other relationships with others. And so people ask those kind of questions of, well, what am I supposed to do? Ultimately, the only thing you need to do is really be aware of what you're doing and why you do it. The change of what you do comes after you become aware of it, because you realize it doesn't serve you to manipulate somebody else.
Mm-hmm. So according to what you know from the Course of Miracles, can monogamy exist in marriage? Like long term?
It can, but it can also not exist. Love, it won't be determined by the form of how my relationship is with you. I mean, that's why I brought the sexologist in, because, you know, many people have open relationships. As a matter of fact, I asked this young man in the film from Plattsburgh State University, I said, well, you know, if you sleep with another girl, do you love your girlfriend less? He goes, well, no, I love her just as much. I said, well, let me ask you, if she sleeps with somebody else, is that okay? And then it became a more difficult question for him, because mm-hmm. now he had to deal with his emotional reaction to her having sex with somebody else.
Right.
So you see how we're always trying to measure and manipulate love into our lives, and that's not the way it works. If we really love somebody, we have to love them the way God would love us, in whatever context of God you would have in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't change with the wind.
So the depth of unconditional, how far does mm-hmm. that go?
Ever.
Well, it goes to the level of God, but as humans, we won't necessarily get there. But what we want to do is be aware of why we're not getting there and the level of fear we have. Because in the truth, we're really afraid of love. We're afraid of our inherent power, our inherent worth. To identify ourselves with God is incredible to us, so we don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, you know, the journey. We're all becoming aware of our inherent wholeness. But on one level, we don't believe it. And since we don't believe it, at this level in the world, we try to satisfy that incompleteness through relationships, through food, through drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and so, but it doesn't last. It gives us those ego's highs, but we always end up disillusioned.
Because, yeah, it's
and
all externalization.
You can repeat, pardon me?
It's all externalization.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, Rick, from your perspective, again, I know you're just offering your opinion. How do you reconcile, I mean, I have no issue with what you've said. I believe everything you've said. Having said that, I am in a marriage that's monogamous, and that according to our agreed upon rules, like, you know, stepping outside the marriage would not be appropriate. So how do you create that love and wanting to go quantum, but also needing, again, I use the word need, that's the only word I have, to have certain boundaries or certain...
That's a very, very good question, Jennifer. And the way you do it is this. In society, we have rules. Everybody understands that when we all come to a red light, that we all stop and don't proceed until it's green. Okay? And so in a relationship, when it's new, we need rules. Okay? But as each one of us grows within our awareness and within our emotional and spiritual growth, the need for rules becomes diminished, because now we're all being governed by what's love and by what's kind. So I might want to sleep with somebody else other than my lover, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. but I may choose not to because I realize this just isn't the kind thing to do right now.
Right.
You see, there's a difference between not doing something because of guilt or because you're being loving.
I'm with you.
You know,
I'm with you.
That's what you want to pay attention to. You know, so many people say, oh, look, I'm not sleeping with somebody else, how much I love you, but, you know, it's all really manipulation. So we need rules initially, but as we grow, I think we'll all find that we're going to be governed by the love that's within us. But as we tap into that, and when we tap into the love that's within us, that love comes through us and takes the form and that is best suitable for the people in our lives to accept and understand.
Which would be truth, though. So part of that quantum love equals truth. So if you are desiring someone else, you speak it. You don't cheat.
Love. You know, these are all symbols, word symbols for the oneness of God.
Because you know if you're doing something that makes you guilty or shameful or whatever.
Yeah.
So those you've got your
baseline.
Your baseline, yeah.
Yeah, your guidepost, yeah.
Yes, yes. And let me tell you, I have an ego as healthy as anybody's. I mean, I play sports, I get mad when I lose, I get upset in traffic, I get, upset with people. But I think the difference is, I now realize where that's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it's not about trying to pretend I'm holy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about being honest about what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling and not holding somebody else responsible for it. Mm-hmm. We're going to be human, mm-hmm. And it's about looking at it and then changing our interpretation of what it means. And that is the premise to becoming peaceful. We'll still have anger. We'll still have tears. But I'm an advocate that we can be angry and have tears and be at peace with that.
Right.
I think it's acceptance, right?
Yeah.
Acceptance of yourself and of everybody else.
Right.
All inclusive.
Right. But absolutely. But the thing is, how do you do that? And so many people, have a hard time accepting themselves, not anybody else. And I think like the course or the film, the only way you can begin to accept yourself is to begin to realize on one level that you are inherently good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a process. We don't do that overnight, and we have to be gentle. And we take the small steps that I think Jennifer mentioned early with rules in our relationship. As humans, that's the way we're going to experience our growth.
And it doesn't mean, and I just want to clarify your position, that you're not saying that you need to stay with someone because you love them. You can leave in love as well. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Look, I mean, would a woman stay with an abusive husband? That she'd have to really check what her reasons were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I'm saying that she should leave if it's a healthy, safe thing to do.
Right.
But she can do that judging him.
Yes, 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 yes.
Without judging
him,
exactly.
Now,
remember, the abusive husband is having his own classroom whereby he manipulates her, he controls her, he physically harms her because of his own methods of trying to satisfy his own ego needs. Our egos can be very, very vicious.
Yeah, yeah.
And whether somebody attacks you with their words or with a knife, in the end, the content of that attack is the same.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
We all get caught up in the form of something. Just look at the underlying content. That will always be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I could give you roses and hate you.
Right.
And that's what we do here.
I'd stab you in the back. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Greeks, the Greeks and the Trojans, beware of Greeks bearing gifts.
Yes.
It's like...
Although for the rose's sake, actually, it's the highest vibrational energy of any plant.
Well, it is the best, yeah.
So at least it should offset something.
So Rick had a question. Rick.
Well, actually, with a movie like this, a workshop afterwards would be great. But do you have connections in Ottawa with the Course in Miracle group? Or...
I don't, and I wanted to secure the St. Paul's University thing, which we just did.
Oh, nice.
And I'll be contacting them to inform them. We're doing a seminar at the Instant Present in Montreal, May 6th.
Okay.
And Know Thyself, hopefully, in Toronto this fall.
But I think what Rick's saying is it'd be...
Sorry.
I think what Rick is saying, which I agree with, it'd be great to have a workshop after the class, because as a life coach, this is the number one question I get is about why did he do this? Why did she do this? I'm angry, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know how to get out of this.
Yeah,
Where do I turn?
Blah, blah, blah.
After the film in Ottawa, I will speak for 30 minutes, and I have another hour after the film to answer people's questions exactly. I will do that.
Right.
Because it's an interesting discussion. Like, why am I angry? What's going on? And again, the answer is always going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's always because I want the world to be the way that I think is necessary for me to feel safe, for me to feel happy, for me to feel loved.
True.
And unfortunately, we'll never have the world be what it needs to be. There'll be traffic jams. There'll be tornadoes. People will die in us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
love and awareness and peace comes from within.
But right. It's nice to have certain tools. So is there something you'd like to share with our listeners that,
Buy the DVD.
Buy the DVD. That's a good one.
It's only $16.99. It's the same as the book.
It's a great price, yes.
Yeah, I think the tool is always saying to yourself, I don't understand this, but I want to. I want to change the way I'm looking at the world in my life because... The Course in Miracles has a line that says, release yourself as your own teacher because you have been poorly taught. I think when you ask your listeners what should they do, it's healthy to come to a place for themselves to say, I want to look at my life differently. They may not know how to do that. But again, the willingness to say, I've been mistaken about this world. I can't make the world be what I want it to be, and I'm the common denominator in all of this difficulty, will bring them to that place. But wanting to is the first step. The rest of their life will be the unfolding. You know, we all want everything tonight, and unfortunately it doesn't work that way. There still will be pain in ours. But again, you know, wanting to is the first step. I wouldn't get too caught up on how that's done. You know, whether it's the Beloved Journey DVD or reading a book from Deepak Chopra or finding another, you know, spirituality that you feel good with. But those are all symbolic ways of us trying to come to a place where we're saying, look, I can't do this anymore.
As simplistic as this might sound, here's another T-shirt. Life is the experience.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, life is the classroom.
Yep.
There's a variety of classrooms in our world. I mean, your body and your relationships with others are primary classroom, but rolling your car over on the interstate is the classroom.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, everything
yeah.
that scares us, you know, it serves us as an opportunity to look, because it will invariably push our buttons. And it's in the looking that the answers come. But until we want to look, we will continue with difficult relationships or with alcohol or with drugs. But, you know, the Course has another line which I like. It says, everybody's tolerance for pain is very, very high. But at one point, everybody must ask themselves, there must be a better way.
Mm, yes.
And until we come to that level of pain, which is very high, we won't.
Mm-hmm. And so how did, because you're at St. Paul's and you interviewed a Monsignor, how did they view the Course in Miracles book? I thought that was a bit on the fringe for them. Did they think
it
was...
Well, no, actually, the Monsignor I did with Elizabethtown, New York.
Right.
He's not from St. Paul's University.
Okay.
Right. But how do you think the Course in Miracles would fit in their dogma?
I don't know. I think, you know, the Course in Miracles is influenced in this film. It was never about the Course in Miracles.
Correct.
Because that's why we brought the Catholic Church in. We brought a sexologist in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of you know, Christian churches, Unitarians, I believe they're on the same page.
I
can't speak for St. Paul's. I mean, I know the Course has a spiritual theology and talks about there is no sin, but there's a belief in sin,
mm-hmm.
and that it's that belief in sin that really ends up causing all of our problems.
Yes.
So,
right.
You know, that's why it was so amazing for the priest to say, I am God.
Right.
I think on one level, even the Catholic Church believes it, but, you know, to change that kind of theology after this many years is a challenge. You
right.
know,
yeah. I agree. So, some last thoughts about the movie. What is it that you hope, you know, you put all your time, money, and energy behind this? What was sort of your desire at the start of this process?
I think, you know, the subject matter has intrigued me since I was a child. To be honest, I had no underlying need. This is not about money for me. This is not about notoriety. I just love the discussion because even as I teach, I learn myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and whether it's the film or my own personal relationships with people, life is, as Rick just said, a classroom,
mm-hmm.
and it comes at us from all ways. But life is going to either be the prison and keep us stuck, or it becomes a classroom instead if we decide to look at the relationships in our life differently.
Mm-hmm.
We
yes.
get to choose all the time.
Wonderful.
You know, God doesn't come into this world to bring us back. We never left.
Right.
It's us that goes back to him, and that's right. what free will would really be all about.
Yes.
Right. And so how was the process of creating a documentary? And there's a lot of Ottawa's got a huge sort of film industry here, sort of on the fringe
very
blockbuster and also very indie. How was that process for you? Was it difficult? Was it easy? How long did it take?
Well, you know, it took me a little longer because I did interview a young priest before, and he really couldn't respond to my questions, and people were frustrated, so I didn't do another interview. I think what was more important for me in this film is content versus the production values. I mean, it looks nice. It's a nice film, but I mm-hmm. wanted to say something different. This is not a new topic. I would just be, you know, saying the same old thing if I didn't present some new ways of looking at this.
Right.
That was the challenge. How do I write this so people can walk away and say, gee whiz, you know, I never considered that before. But the other production things are typical. You know, you go out, you interview, you try to get, you know, people saying different things, and you connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
And so that when people walk away from it, that was my goal, to say, when someone walks away, I want them to almost like lose their breath a little bit.
Mm-hmm. 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 Have you ever thought of like submitting this to like any film festivals or?
Oh yes, it has been. It was in two film festivals. It was in Heal One World in San Diego, California, and the Black Swamp Film Festival in Ohio.
Lovely.
It was honorable mention in the Houston Film Festival in Texas.
Lovely. Excellent. Good for you. Good for you. So what's next for Lucid Productions?
The next thing is we're going to try to do another topic. I'm not sure if it's going to be about death and dying or our bodies, but we're still not sure. It'd be nice because I'm not a rich person to find a producer who would be willing to, you know, help,
yes.
You know, because I paid for the last one myself. But I would love to do another one. That's what I have a production company, a small one. That's what I do. But I say to people, no matter if I'm talking about elephants in Africa, the bottom line is I'm going to be saying the same thing. It's always going to come back to our underlying ego needs and where that comes from and what's the remedy, you know.
Right.
And the remedy is about looking at it and understanding it. And because that's the way we begin to say, okay, this is not going to serve me. But there is, just to say lightly before we exit, a metaphysical discussion about God and the separation, which I love, but I didn't get into in the film because it's a little heady. Not that I'm so smart. It took me years. It's like, you know, they're theoretical.
Yes.
But those conversations are important because they give you the framework to say what us three have just been talking about.
Right.
When I tell people you're responsible for your feelings, you know, they said, well, how can you say that? Because if someone just called you an idiot and a few minutes ago you felt good, it seems sensible to think they're responsible.
Right.
You know, but so there's a dialogue of metaphysics about why you own those feelings and why that person called you that name.
Mm-hmm.
So you can begin to say not own it, you know.
Right.
So you can anticipate the St. Paul's University to be a very a lively discussion afterwards, I would guess to me.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, they have courses on relationship conflicts and ethics. I mean, they're already excited about it, I think.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, one thing that I think the documentary has the ability to shed some new light on what we do as humans and why we do it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And it really comes from a whole other level because, remember, our bodies reflect here what our minds are choosing.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And so that's why you can never judge somebody's behavior because, you know, a loving parent may spank the child because they realize the child's going to run into the street.
Right.
You know, I mean, but that's, you know, because the parent is coming to a place that's loving and this is what the child understands. I mean, I grew up in a big family. My father just had to give me a dirty look. My other brother, he had to spank. You know, he knew his kids, which ones were going to understand this. So, but I knew he was loving.
Yes.
You can never judge anybody.
Right.
Excellent.
Well, wonderful. So, Rick, again, give us the website where people can find more about the documentary, the documentary.
It's, Love's Journey, all one word, .us for the United States.
Wonderful. And
Excellent.
So you'll be at St. Paul's University on April 28th here in Ottawa at 2:30 p.m. at the Amphitheater. Your DVD is for sale at $16.99 U.S. online, which is a great bargain. And we do encourage you to contact the Course in Miracles groups here because I'm sure they'd be very interested in attending.
Yes, I will. Thank you very much for that. And again, at the website, they can buy tickets for the film at St. Paul's. And, you know, at the very least, it'll be a fun time. And if you guys are free, I hope to see you there.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for your time today.
All right. Take care, Rick.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for this.
Namaste.
Bye-bye, Jennifer. Bye-bye, Rick.